From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. When I was in college, I did a ride-along with my local suburban police department to write an article for the school newspaper. That was a long time ago in a small town that saw very little crime. And true to form, the most excitement we had was stopping a couple of speeding drivers. Well, just this past week, I got a chance to go on another ride-along with Eugene PD. And let's just say, we had a lot more excitement this time. We made several stops to jail to deliver suspects, and one of them was quite eventful. Before that night, I didn't even know what a spit bib was. Now I do. So today on the show, I'll bring you along with Patrol Officer Alan Kawasaki as he took me on his beat on a late Friday night. That's next on Oregon on the Record. I've never worked in law enforcement, and what I know about cops is colored by what I see on TVs and movies, and what I see and read in the media when a police officer does something bad. But it's a truly strange profession and requires a lot more skills than simply arresting bad guys, and it requires a genuine need for multitasking that most of us would find, well, manic. I recently went on a ride-along with Eugene PD, and I'm going to bring you a conversation with a patrol officer as he drove me around the city during a particularly busy Friday night. And after that experience, I think I can best describe the role of police officer in the following ways. One, it's a customer service job where the vast majority of customers don't like you and don't want to have anything to do with you. Two, it's a professional driver job where you have to pay strict attention to the road while also having your head on a swivel all the time. Three, it's a technology job where almost all your tasks are tied to the computer at your side. Four, it's a counselor job where you're interacting with people having their worst day. Five, and finally, it is a law enforcement job where your badge, your gun, your handcuffs, your radio, your knife, and your pepper spray may all come into play at any time. So with that, let's step inside Officer Alan Kawasaki's office, his Ford Explorer patrol vehicle. So tell me, how long have you been a police officer with Eugene?
I've been a police officer with Eugene for 4 years, a little over 4 years now.
Okay. And did you start here in Eugene, or did you work at another force before this?
I started here in Eugene. I came up to Eugene for the U of O and just kind of never left the city.
Okay. So you went to the U of O. What was your major?
I majored in psychology and communication disorders and sciences.
Did that help you with law enforcement?
I'm finding that it does in a lot of ways. In essence, it's two majors on how to talk to people, which is inherently what we do.
And I'm curious about that because I'm wondering, you know, and I've had a great opportunity to interview the chief a few times, and he talked about the fact that, you know, learning law enforcement is certainly one set of skills, but sometimes those softer skills of being able to communicate is really what separates really great officers, you know, from others. Do you find that's a big part of it?
I do. I find that we talk to people kind of all mental states, of all moods. We talk to everybody, essentially, and it's important to be able to build rapport with people as best we can, because inherently we're there for them.
Yeah. What made you want to become a police officer?
Pretty much every job I've had has been some level of customer service. I started as when I was 16, I worked as a day camp counselor. Then I worked at retail. When I came up here to U of O, while I was going to U of O, I also worked as a line cook at U of O. So this was essentially the highest level of customer service that I can think of.
Well, and that's interesting because, and also the chief had told me, this is kind of a customer service job. And I know that most people probably don't think that way about law enforcement. Explain that a little bit more about the customer service aspect of what you do.
So we respond to calls inherently. People have complaints of issues in the community. People are going through rough times. And it's our job to kind of make it as safe as we can and hold people accountable if they're doing harm to this community.
One thing I'd like to sort of talk about a little bit is sort of, you know, like I said, you know, I think most of us, we understand police officers from fiction, from movies and TV and whatnot. What are maybe some things about the job that, you know, if we couch it as myth busting, what are things about the job that maybe people don't understand or maybe don't see in Hollywood depictions about what being a police officer is all about?
Well, being a police officer, as it's been explained to me, is equal parts talking to people and just kind of being a professional information gatherer. When we take reports on things, that is inherently what we're doing, is just gathering information. But it ultimately all just comes back to just being able to talk to people. And interacting with people, and like it's not all just car chases and things of that nature. Like it's a lot of just talking to people.
Last question before we get going. Obviously, you know, it's an inherently dangerous job, and you're married, you have a child. What kind of is the mindset that you bring to the job to make sure that you're safe doing the job?
I would say. I think the biggest thing for me is trusting my coworkers. We have had plenty of times when I've been in a fight with somebody and I call for emergency cover. Within minutes, I have every coworker who's working coming to help me. And that's a good feeling, knowing that we all have each other's backs. We'll all help each other. And I think that's what our safety net is each other.
I'm going to break away now from the conversation with Officer Kawasaki to bring you some sound from the stops we made during the ride-along. At around 9 p.m., we responded to a noise disturbance in East Eugene. So we've made our first stop. We're outside of an apartment complex. There were complaints of some juveniles doing some reckless driving through here. So he went to go check it out with his colleagues, and I'm safely ensconced in the car. While he could have issued a ticket to the kids, he instead just talked with them and they left without any further incident. It would be the last calm interaction of the evening. Now, let's get back to my conversation with Officer Kawasaki. When you first started out as a rookie, what were some of the things that were hardest to get used to? And I mean, it could be anything from the uniform to, again, you know, interactions with people. What were some of the things that you were like, wow, this takes some getting used to?
I think for me, the thing that took the most getting used to was the multitasking. Like when we're driving around, I'm always listening to the radio. We're always monitoring the calls. I'm always monitoring kind of what's going on around me. And not just with driving, but just kind of what's happening. Like, am I seeing crimes in progress? Am I seeing violations? Just kind of taking everything in. So that took a little bit of getting used to.
It's interesting. We're talking in your vehicle, and I'm realizing there's not a lot of room here because there is so much technology. Talk about that. I mean, you're a fairly young police officer. What's it like, both the positives and maybe a little bit of the negatives of having so much technology and having to use it and obviously implement it in everything you do?
So right, kind of what you're mentioning, the thing that takes up the most room, as you can see, is the computer. This is the main source of information that we have kind of going through our work day. I'm looking at the call screen right now, like calls that are holding, that are waiting to be dispatched. So that's one thing that we kind of have to pay attention to. There's also the radio, which is right underneath the computer, which what we hear in the car is the same thing that's always going on in my ear. So essentially I'm listening out of my left ear for everything else. And in my right ear, I'm listening to what dispatch is telling me and what all my coworkers are doing. So I would say, again, kind of going back to that multitasking, I'm monitoring all of that at the same time while also driving and going about my day.
Yeah, I mean, for obviously most of us, a job, you know, obviously we're very used to computers, but we're also not driving a 3,000, 4,000 pound vehicle and obviously keeping our eyes and ears open for people doing bad things. How long did it take to sort of get used to what you said about the multitasking? When did you feel like, okay, now everything sort of clicks?
I would say it probably took me about a year, year and a half. Okay. And a lot of it's just practice. I mean, this car is my office. This is where I work. I'm in this car at least 10 hours a day, sometimes more. So eventually I just kind of got used to it.
So maybe take us through what a typical shift looks like. We're at the very beginning part now, kind of, or even if you can, before we got in the car, talk about sort of when you get to police headquarters, take us through how you get ready and sort of what a typical shift would look like.
For me, I usually come in a little bit early to work out. We do have a gym here at the Eugene Police Headquarters that we're allowed to use. And so I'll usually go on a run before work. Then I'll put on my uniform along with all the accoutrements, as you can see here. Following that, I'll come out, I'll set up my car. We share police cars here at the Eugene Police Department. We don't have take-home cars, or at least not us on the patrol level. So the cars are just kind of in this lot. I'll bring all my gear out, which consists of a patrol bag, my patrol rifle, and then my lunch. I'll set all that up. I'll function test the car, make sure everything works, make sure the lights work, make sure the siren works, check the tires, make sure that the car is functional and ready to go. Following that, I'll log into my computer where I'll kind of see what's going on in the city and what I'll end up doing. Following that, I'll go to briefing. That usually takes 30 to 45 minutes where our patrol team will come together. We'll get briefed on anything that's going on for the day, anything to be aware of. Following that, I'll clear and start taking calls for service.
So do you have a specific geographic area you're assigned to?
Yes. So I work on the east side of Eugene, which essentially looking at a map is between Jefferson and, Washington Street and I-5. So the east side of Eugene. It's not necessarily a hard boundary. Here at EPD, we'll go to wherever we're needed. Because as the night progresses, there may be more calls that happen on the west side where they just don't have enough police officers on the west side at that time. So we'll end up going there and vice versa for the east side. But when it comes to being dispatched, then that's where we'll be dispatched to, is calls on our side of the city.
Okay. And so obviously you're having a lot of communication with dispatch. Do you also have a lot of communication with other officers? Do you guys kind of sort of check in and sort of share experiences or notes of what's happening through the shift?
Of course. As you'll see when we start going on calls, we generally don't go alone. There's usually at least one other officer with me. So we'll usually chat because, well, we work together. We like each other. But we'll kind of chat about like what happened, even just small talk. As we kind of work through calls, we have a separate channel on our radio that we can use as our talk channel, where we can have direct communication as we're working a call together. And then occasionally we'll just call each other on the phone as needed. Like if we have a question that of another officer, like if they got a statement from somebody, or just a question about how to do a particular thing that they may have more knowledge of.
Okay. Have you also worked day shifts, or have you always been on nights?
When I was on field training, I started on day shift. When I became first solo, I was on swing shift, so 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Following that, I worked a later swing, so 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. And now I'm working 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. So basically, as my career progressed, I kind of worked later and later in the day, now that I think about it.
Again, I'm going to break away from our conversation to talk about our first arrest of the night. At around 10 p.m., we responded to a noise complaint that led to the arrest of a person known to Officer Kawasaki on outstanding warrants. Someone who has 6 warrants out, and we pulled her over, and he's talking to her right now. It's interesting that in a middle-sized city, how the police officers certainly know the people who they come into contact often. He was able to see her from across 2 streets and know exactly who she was. With this arrest, Officer Kawasaki also found pills in the person's possession. He would later take me to the police lab where he did a field drug test and found out that she was in possession of Schedule II narcotics. Let's get back to our conversation with Officer Kawasaki during our ride-along with Eugene PD.
Is there a shift you prefer? And in addition to that part of the question, what are the inherent challenges in both working day shift and night shift?
With where I'm at right now in my life, I actually very, very much enjoy night shift. I feel like I spend a lot of time with my family, or more time than I would if I was working day shift. Okay. I say that because I have a 17-month-old at home. So what I found for working day shift, I leave, and I can kind of see this when I do training, when I have to adjust to work in the daytime, because when we do trainings, it's always during the day. I'll leave usually right after he gets up or even before he gets up. I'll get home kind of as he's winding down for the day, or as the case may be, as he's already in bed. Whereas working nights, I get home at like 6:30, 7 in the morning. He's up, ready to go. He'll greet me. I'll usually spend an hour or two just kind of hanging out with him and my wife. And then I'll sleep. And then when I wake up, he's still up. He's still ready to go. So for family life, I actually enjoy night shift. Yeah. In terms of challenges, probably the biggest challenge for me when on my weekends, so I work Wednesday night through early Sunday morning. On my weekends, so Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I adjust to be awake during the daytime, again, just for that family life. So Sundays are usually a tricky day for me, because I'll get home, I'll usually get a little bit of sleep, and then I'll wake up and essentially just be up.
Okay.
So I guess the sleep schedule would be the biggest challenge.
What's more of a challenge, being a police officer or having a 17-month-old?
It depends on the day. It depends on the day.
Another break from my conversation with Officer Kawasaki to talk about how he joined with other officers on a call looking for an individual doing some pretty disturbing things around Skinner Butte sometime after 11:30 p.m. It would become our most challenging incident involving a man running into and out of the street threatening passersby. It would also become a call I won't soon forget. And now we're stopped looking for a person who's been running out into the street and threatening folks, and so they're looking for him in some brush right now. And they found him, and looks like he's in handcuffs, and they're loading him into the other police officer's vehicle. So we took the disorderly conduct person to jail, and it was a kind of a sad situation. He's somebody who's probably on intoxicants, but also he's known to the police officers as having schizophrenic tendencies, and he was very uncooperative. So we had the opportunity to bring him to jail and see the transfer with what's called an uncooperative subject. And so the sheriff's deputies had to come out and in mass, probably 8 different deputies, to remove the individual from the car and put what was called a spit bib on him, because he was spitting at the officers, and placed him in handcuffs and placed him in a special chair to bring him into the jail. So it was quite eye-opening to see what obviously happens a lot in Eugene with people who are suffering, both whether it's intoxicants or mental health issues, is some really unusual and kind of scary behavior, but it was a successful transfer, and he's now in the jail. Back to my conversation with Officer Kawasaki. So a stop we made with the disorderly suspect that we took to jail. Talk about, you know, dealing with somebody who's dealing with intoxicants, but also dealing with mental health challenges, and having to kind of have someone like that in your vehicle and swearing and just carrying on. What's it like to have to sort of continue to do your job with a pretty volatile person in the back there?
That one was kind of easy for me, because I didn't have to transport. But with folks like that, with stuff like that, at the end of the day, it's just words, just sounds, and kind of like what we were saying, it's a lot of the same stuff that I hear on a fairly regular basis. So at a certain point, I just kind of tune it out. Like it's just words. It doesn't really hurt me.
And then the other case where we were driving and you recognized someone right away and knew that there were warrants out for them. You know, you had talked about so much of multitasking, just being able to spot that person and know exactly what was going on. Talk a little bit about that stop and just how your instincts sort of clued into that.
Yeah. So the original call that we were sent to is a male-female verbal dispute coming from the south side of South Eugene High School. As we're coming down Patterson, I see a male and a female walking north away from the area of the dispute. So I'm already thinking that they're the involved people that were there for. I happen to recognize both of them, and I remembered talking to the officer who took the original burglary report that the female was the suspect in. So essentially at that point, I had to turn around, coordinate with other officers, because I was on the radio saying, hey, it's this person, here's where they're going, here's what they're wearing, so that if they decide to try to run away and we have to set a perimeter, people know what they're looking for. But I have to give all that information out, and I still have to flip my vehicle around. And I ended up undershooting it a little bit too, because I was trying to cut them off because they were going up a one way. I ended up having to kind of swim up river just to prevent that escape. Which, I mean, that's what the red and blue lights are for. And there was minimal traffic, which was nice. But I still had to kind of manage all that while also maintaining observation of this person so that they don't get away, so that I can actually stop them for the warrants and for that burglary.
Well, it's been very enlightening for me. I really appreciate you taking me on this ride along.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Before we go, I wanted to take a minute to talk with you about this experience. Members of the public can go on ride-alongs with Eugene PD and other police departments, and I highly encourage you to do so, especially if you might have negative feelings or if you've had negative interactions with police. I do believe that the general public should have a better understanding about the job of police officer and also better understand the men and women who do it. After my experience with Officer Kawasaki, I can say clearly that he has a job I don't want to do, but I'm glad he's there doing it. That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Monday on the show, you'll learn about a relatively new nonprofit helping siblings separated by the foster care system to maintain their connections. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.